Blog Talk Radio.
All right, fans, here we go. 4 2-minute rounds of boxing scheduled. Women's in the ring.
Fans, to another edition of the 2-Minute Round, episode number 21. Can you believe it, guys? Every other week here on the Leave It In The Ring Network, every Thursday, you have the Leave It In, the 2-Minute Round, your Hooks and Jabs look at the female fight world with my co-host, Mr. David Avila from Riverside. David, how you doing?
Very good, Felipe. How are you?
Good, good. Thank you. And last but certainly not least, former fighter Elena Baby Doll Reed from Phoenix. How you doing, Elena?
Good. I'm excited about tonight's show.
Yeah, and my name is Felipe Leon here on the 2-Minute Round on the Leave It In The Ring Network. If you guys want to give us a call, we have a very, very special show tonight. You know, we've done it in the past. We brought in the biggest names in female boxing, like Christy Martin. We brought on Jelena Muranovic. We brought on Maricela Cornejo, we brought on Amanda Serrano, Melissa St. Bill, and tonight won't be any different when our special guest will be none other than Mexican, I mean, I'm going to say it, legend, Mariana La Barbie Juarez, who should be calling in about 15 minutes to talk about something very special that she wants to do. But if you want to give us a call and discuss female boxing with us here on the 2-Minute Round, you can do so at 347-215-7598, 347-215-7598. But before Mariana gives us a ring from Mexico City, we're going to get started a little bit and talk about the fight results from the last couple weeks like we always do, starting on Friday, February the 3rd from the Jonathan Club in Los Angeles. This was a private show, so it was very hard to get in. Not even a lot of media were able to get in, but we did get the report that Katanya Fisher and Lisa Porter fought to a majority draw in a four-rounder in the lightweight division. The scores there were 38-38 two times and 39-37 for Porter. David, did you hear anything about this fight? Did you talk to anybody about this fight and how it went down there at the Jonathan Club?
No, I was unable to find out anybody who actually saw the fight. The only thing I know is that I've seen Lisa Porter fight. She's very, very good. So the fact that it ended in a draw just tells me Katanya Fisher is very good too.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, Lisa, the one judge did see it for Lisa Porter. Now moving on to the next night, on Saturday, February 14th, from the Pablo Colín Auditorio in Cuautitlán Izcalli, Mexico, in the state of Mexico, Sanford Promotions on the Azteca channel gave us the return of the other Mexican legend, Jackie, the Aztec Princess Nava, who scored a unanimous decision against a tough and game opponent in Ana Maria Lozano in a 10-rounder for the vacant WBC Super Bantamweight International title. Scores there were 99-91 and 97-93 two times. David or Elena, did you guys get a chance to watch this fight?
No, I haven't. I definitely looked it up and researched it, but I actually haven't seen it.
I saw the fight. I scored it the same way. I saw Nava. It was started a little slow, but then you could tell that she's just shaking up that rust. And then, man, once she was on her game, she just got better and better.
Yeah, I watched it too, and I agree with you. She was a little rusty in the beginning, but, you know, she showed some speed. You know, Lozano, even though she was tough and had a pretty good record, she was a little limited. But that's exactly what Jackie needed for this fight, you know, to go some rounds. She hadn't stepped into a ring since February of 2015, where she won here in Rosarito. So she just needed some activity, and she got it in this fight. Now, obviously, she's a congresswoman here in Mexico, and she's not going to be in recess again until June or July. So that's when we expect her back in the ring, and hopefully it will be against a bigger name and for higher stakes. So we'll see what happens. And maybe it will be against some of the women that have been challenging her quite recently, and we're going to be talking about it a little bit in later on in the program. So on Saturday,
go ahead. No, I was going to ask you guys, since you actually watched the fights, do you think she's going to be right back on top? Like, do you think she has a good chance at beating the girls that are on top there?
It's pretty interesting. She looks once she got going, she looks like she's the same person. And I think she's quite capable of fighting anybody at the top, anybody.
I think she's capable, but these younger girls, you know, and I'm thinking mostly of Amanda Serrano. You know, Amanda Serrano is a very good fighter. She's, you know, she's quick. She great boxing ability, great boxing technique. And she's tough and she hits hard. So, you know, 28 years old versus 34, 35 with this much of a hiatus. You know, can Jackie Nava compete with her? Yes, of course. She's a great, great fighter. Can she beat her? I wouldn't bet my money on it. You know, I say that's a 50-50 fight, or if I had to put my money on it, I would probably slightly give the edge to Amanda Serrano.
So do you think she's going to be a gatekeeper then for the girls that like Amanda Serrano?
No, I don't see her as a gatekeeper. I think that she's still, you know, a force to be reckoned with. But then when you get to like the top fighter in the division, I think, and at 122 pounds, it just might be Amanda Serrano. If she comes down to 122, well, she is at 122. You know, if you go to the top fighter in the division, I don't know if she has enough to beat the top fighter, Amanda Serrano, but I think she has enough to beat the rest of the fighters in that division, which might not be as strong as it was when she actually left boxing 2 years ago.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to see that fight as well.
Yeah,
you
me
sold
too.
Me.
And now, this last weekend, right here in Tecate, Baja California, Mexico, Sanford gave us another night of female boxing. So if you guys are keeping track, that's two weekends in a row where the main event, on the Azteca channel was a female bout. This time it was Arely Muncino, the three-time flyweight champion out of Monterrey, fighting at super flyweight, getting a technical decision over late sub Candy Sandoval in a 10-rounder. The bout was stopped because of an accidental headbutt. The scores at the stoppage were 90-80, 88-84, and 87-83. I was there at the fight. To me, the fight seemed much closer than those scorecards that I just read. I feel that even it could have been a draw. And a lot of people at ringside after the fight I spoke to, even some people of the actual promotional company, Sanford, who actually promotes Arely Muncino, actually felt that the stoppage wasn't the right one. They claimed that they never saw the accidental headbutt. They felt that the cut that caused the stoppage was from a punch. So that was a couple people told me that as I got near the ring. So, you know, this Candy Sandoval, she looked bigger than Arely. You know, maybe because she was a late sub, she was originally scheduled to fight Japanese Shindo Go, which would have been a rematch of a fight earlier in her career. But for whatever reason, Shindo Go didn't make it, so they got this late sub. This Candy Sandoval was a bigger fighter. She looked physically bigger. She had fought as high as bantamweight. She actually had given a pretty good fight to Jasmine Rivas, the former WBC bantamweight champion. So maybe Arely was having a little trouble with the physical difference. Also, Candy was working her jab very well. She was taller. She had a longer arms. So, you know, we might have to chalk this one up to, you know, just a bad night for Arely Muncino, who is on the search for that WBO flyweight title, which if she were to win it, she would be the first Mexican female fighter to win a title from each of the major sanctioning bodies at flyweight. So that's something that she's looking to do this year. And she actually mentioned after the fight that she asked for her promoter, Sanford, to get her that fight. The flyweight champion in the WBO is a Japanese lady. I forgot her name, but she's Japanese, so they're going to look for that fight.
Oh, okay.
Now, also on the card was Sandra Robles, a local fighter here from Tijuana, better known back in 2015. She challenged Anabel La Vispa Ortiz for the WBA strawweight title. She came up short on that fight. The fight was stopped because of an accidental headbutt as well, and it went to the scorecards where Ortiz came out on top. Now, Sandra Robles, I think she's like either 5-0 or 6-0 since that loss, and she's looking for a title in her own weight class, which is 108, and she scored a technical knockout in the fifth round over Maria Vargas, a young woman from Mexico City who was clearly overmatched. Vargas didn't answer the bell for the sixth and final round, and she ended up hurting her left hand. So that was the other fight on that fight card this past Saturday night, February 11th. And now we should be coming close to receiving the phone call from none other than Mariana La Barbie Juarez. So before we even move on to the female fight chatter or anything like that, why don't we take these last 3 or 4 minutes to talk about Mariana Juarez and what she has done in her boxing career, just in case anybody out there listening is not familiar with her, although they should be, because she is Mariana Juarez, one of the bigger names in female boxing, whether you're in Mexico, United States. If you follow female boxing, you should know who Mariana Juarez is. And why don't we start off with Elena, who actually has shared the ring with Mariana Juarez. What do you remember about that fight? What did you know about her before you stepped into the ring with her? How did that whole fight get made? And why don't you tell us about it, Elena?
Well, I was up and coming at the time as well, and I believe we were fighting on an undercard for ESPN or but I fought anyone and everyone, so I didn't. It was at a point in my career where I had no idea. I didn't know anything about the people that I was fighting. I just knew I was fighting, so I didn't really know anything about her going into the fight. When she did arrive, though, I did see that. You know, I always had the people, and they're always kind of supportive of me. But she also had a lot of support behind her in my hometown, Phoenix. So people were excited about her as well. Fighting her was awesome because it was a fight, you know, it was toe-to-toe action and just one of those fights that you remember for the rest of your life. I've always said it and I'll always say it, Mexican fight style is my favorite fight style, and that's just a go forward, nonstop, and also just body shots. So it was a really fun fight for me, especially as a young fighter. She's a superstar, definitely in her own right. So I have, a lot of questions for her and what she's done, but she's been in the sport for a long time, and she's still on top and still doing well. I'm sure anyone who knows her knows that not only is she a great fighter, but she's just absolutely a beautiful woman, and so it's kind of an enigma, right, or what we call an enigma. She's so beautiful, and she could definitely be a movie star. I'm not sure if she is out there or not, but she's also just a great fighter.
Now, that fight was back in June of 2003, and it was in Phoenix, Arizona, and it was on Fox, so you weren't too far off as far as the network. You guys fought to a six-round draw.
Yeah, we fought to a draw.
It was on a draw, majority draw. Two of the judges had it 57-57, and then one judge actually had it for Mariana at 58-56. You know what I find interesting is that the point of the fight, well, actually, you guys fought a bantamweight, which wasn't your natural weight class, right?
I think at the time it was. For world titles, I think that's different, and that's when I got smaller. But for young fighters, we weren't, like, killing ourselves to make weight. So it was a fine fight. It was a fine weight for fighting, like, four-rounders or whatever the rounds were.
Actually, you guys weren't that heavy. You actually weighed in at 116. And she weighed in at 113 and a half. So you guys were right there, like a supply weight. And the other thing that I find interesting is at the time of the fight, you actually had a little bit more fights than she did. You were 13-1 with two draws at the time of the fight. And she was 9-3 with two draws. at the time of the fight. So I kind of find that interesting that she had a little, you had a little bit more fights than she did.
Well, that's not true, because Mariana had a lot more fights that were not,
that were undocumented.
Registered. Yeah,
true,
because in Mexico, it was illegal for women to fight. So she had more fights.
I think I did hear that after the fact, because I'm sure that I remember a little bit. It was a long time ago, but I'm sure after the fight, I was like, you know, what just happened? I probably went into the fight not thinking that it was going to be as tough as it was, and not that, you know, like I said, as a fighter, it was a fun fight. But at that time, I was fighting anyone and everyone, but at the same time, the promoters and stuff behind were trying to build me. So it was probably was in.
Now, Mariana right now has 44 wins, 9 losses, 4 draws, 17 knockouts, and without further ado, she's punctual. We have none other than Mariana Juarez. Let me say hi to her first, and then I'll pass her on, okay?
Okay.
Buenas noches, Mariana. ¿Cómo estás?
Hola, buenas noches, David. Aquí muy bien, ya descansando.
Mariana, no soy David, yo soy Felipe León, soy el otro coanfitrión del programa, pero sí está aquí David Ávila con nosotros, y también coanfitrión del programa es una de tus rivales del pasado, Elena Baby Doll Reed.
Ah, claro que sí, Elena.
Okay.
Saludos, Elena.
Sí, hola. Hi, Elena. Hola. Ok. Entonces, Mariana, lo que vamos a hacer aquí, le voy a pasar la batuta al señor David Ávila y yo voy a traducir para ustedes y pues yo, él va a hacer la pregunta y yo te la voy a decir en español, me contestas y yo lo traduzco, ¿ok?
Claro que sí.
Ok, David, go ahead.
Ok, Mariana, hola.
Hola, hola, David.
It's been 5 years since I last saw you, so thank you for joining us. What changes have you experienced since 2012 when you fought Shindo Go?
Dice David, hola, obviamente, dice que has pasado, y muchas gracias por estar con nosotros, y que han pasado 5 años desde la última vez que él te vio. Entonces, ¿qué cambios ha habido en ti desde el 2012 cuando peleaste contra Shindo Go?
Sí, sí, ya fue una gran pelea, una defensa de mi título. Mosca, bueno, yo creo que ha habido muchos cambios, ya realmente, como dicen, ya son 4 o 5 años en los que, bueno, ya prácticamente voy a cumplir 19 años de boxeadora profesional, y bueno, he avanzado, que a pesar de eso también he sufrido algunas lesiones que me han detenido un poco en mi desempeño arriba del ring, pero poco a poco hemos salido de ellas y seguimos trabajando. Ahorita tenemos la oportunidad de un título nuevo en la división gallo y estamos en busca de este título. Entonces creo que realmente sí hemos crecido, ¿no? Ha sido bastante, bastante trabajo y el boxeo femenil creo que ha avanzado muchísimo de esos años, en estos 4 o 5 años ya.
She says that was a great fight, the one against Shindo Go, which was a title fight. She defended her title. And that, you know, she has grown a lot. She has grown a lot. She has, you know, had overcome some losses that have kind of like slowed down her career, but she has overcome them. And, you know, now she's looking for a title shot at 118 pounds. And then in the last 4 or 5 years since that fight, you know, female boxing has grown a lot, and she's happy for that.
And now my next question is, how did you discover boxing, and what was it like in the beginning for women in Mexico?
Pregunta David, que cómo fue como descubriste el boxeo y cómo era al principio de tu carrera el boxeo femenil en México.
Bueno, lo descubrí realmente por querer aprender defensa personal y mi carrera aquí fue un poquito cortita porque había muy poco boxeo, había muy pocas mujeres dentro del medio y ya era un año y habíamos peleado entre nosotras 4 veces, entonces era difícil realmente seguir continuando a México y fue cuando viajé a Estados Unidos para poder continuar con mi carrera y ahí tuve el gusto de conocer a David y Ben Lira que fue realmente alguien que me enseñó bastante, le digo allá mi papá, dentro del boxeo, la verdad que me aprendí bastante y realmente fue donde crecí, en Estados Unidos, haciendo mi carrera por allá, yendo a visitar a rivales como Elena a su casa, hay algunas otras chicas por allá para poder crecer y llegar a ser campeona del mundo.
She says that, you know, in the beginning she sought out boxing to learn personal defense, and then in the beginning there was a little bit of boxing. Her career in Mexico wasn't all that long because there wasn't enough boxers, so she didn't really have anybody to fight. She ended up fighting the same fighters 3 or 4 times, and that's why she ended up coming to the United States to further her boxing career. That's when she met Davis. She met Ben Lita, a person that she learned a lot from, who she actually calls Dad. And that, you know, she furthered her career here in the United States. She became who she was in the United States by fighting all kinds of different fighters, including Elena in her hometown. And from the United States, or in the United States, is where she became a world champion.
How did she find herself? Who actually brought her to the United States? Did she get any kind of help from any other people to come here? And also, what was it like being in another country with not, you know, with little family supporting you?
¿Quién fue el que te trajo a los Estados Unidos? ¿Quién fue el que te brindó la mano y te trajo a los Estados Unidos? ¿Y qué tan difícil fue para ti estar en los Estados Unidos, en otro país, sin familia a un lado, ni ese tipo de apoyo?
Bueno, los primeros que me mandaron a Estados Unidos y me presentaron a Ben Lira fueron los Maldonado, por apoyo de Marco Antonio Barrera y Rudy Pérez, pues les pidieron de favor que me apoyaran en mi carrera y pues ellos empezaron a hacer un poquito de cargo al inicio, que realmente me consiguieron solamente una pelea, que fue cuando fuimos a pelear contra Elena, y después el que se encargó de mi carrera fue Ben Lira.
She says that the people that actually, you know, took the first steps to bring her to the United States were the Maldonados, who used to work, those people that don't know, they used to work with Marco Antonio Barrera and the fallen Rudy Pérez, may he rest in peace. And they did, the Maldonados did that. The Barrera and Rudy Pérez asked them for a favor. And they actually only got Mariana one fight, which was the fight against Elena. And then after that, Ben Lita was the one that took over her career.
Interesting tidbits. Yeah. Elena, do you have any questions you'd like to ask?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Okay.
First of all, I'm sure you guys know this is my favorite part, but I'm smiling ear to ear. I have a lot of love and respect for Mariana, so it's great to have her on. So I would love for you to let her know that.
Okay. Mariana, dice Elena que esta es su parte favorita de nuestro programa. Solo para que tú sepas, este programa lo hacemos cada 2 semanas. Y ella, pues, es co-anfitriona con nosotros y a ella le encantan las entrevistas, pero ahorita dice ella que es una noche muy especial para ella porque te tiene mucho respeto, amor hacia ti.
Ah, muchas gracias, ¿no? Y saludos a Elena, créeme que igual la recuerdo una pelea muy muy difícil ahí, ahora sí que por allá. Y realmente hoy estaba posteando algo en mis redes sociales que decía que le doy las gracias a cada una de mis rivales porque por eso estoy donde estoy y he crecido hasta donde he llegado. Realmente he obtenido lo que he obtenido gracias a esos rivales que me he encontrado en el camino y con ellas he aprendido, ¿no? Y estoy muy contenta de haber enfrentado una pelea como lo es Elena y igual saludándola y felicitándola porque ahí sigue caminando dentro de esto que la verdad es muy difícil dejar el boxeo ya.
She says that she thanks you very much and she feels the same way about you and actually she was posting something on her social networks today where she thanks all the people that she faced inside the ring, because if it wasn't for them, she wouldn't be the fighter and she wouldn't have gotten where she is now. And she remembers your fight. She remembers that it was a very, very tough fight and that she's very happy for you and congratulates that you're still doing something with boxing, because as she knows that it's very hard to leave boxing.
So, of course, you know, I do have my questions, but I'm very thankful and also that happy to see that she's still doing so well in the sport. But my question is, How did the change happen in Mexico? How did they go from not letting women even box or not being very popular to where it is today? And this is the thing, in Germany, it became popular because Regina Helmich, she was on a famous talk show, and she gave the talk show host, they did like a little sparring, and she gave him a bloody nose. And that's what took, you know, that's what it took. And then women's boxing really got to be on the popular networks, and they became superstars in their own right. So how did that change happen in Mexico?
Pregunta Elena, que cómo llegó el cambio en México, donde cuando empezaste no había rivales y había mucho boxeo, y ahora ha llegado el punto donde son superestrellas, no solo tú, pero Ana María Torres, Jackie Nava y todas las demás. ¿Cómo llegó a ese cambio? ¿Qué pasó en México para que eso pasara?
Yo creo que los mismos promotores, el apoyo de la televisión, realmente el apoyo de las de los medios públicos, es el que nos dio ese empuje para que las mujeres pudiéramos, la gente pudiera vernos, la gente, el público pudiera darse cuenta que las mujeres realmente sabíamos boxear y podíamos dar unos buenos papeles arriba del ring. Realmente el trabajo de todas mis compañeras aquí en México y muchas de las rivales que venían de todo el mundo, porque desde japonesas, latinas, americanas, de todas partes del mundo venían a hacer buenas exhibiciones aquí a México con las rivales, y la verdad que fue un gran trabajo el que se tuvo que hacer, pero la televisión fue la base de todo esto.
She says that it was actually, you know, the promoters and the promoters actually pushing TV to put on the fights, you know, the female boxing, and once they got on TV and they were able to, you know, show that they could really box and then have, you know, all the other opponents that came in or the other women that came in and fought the Mexican girls or the Mexican women in Mexico, like all the Japanese women and the Latin American women and the American women, that's what really helped push it to that next level, which it found itself.
So I'm guessing the Hispanic boxing promoters are just smarter than all the promoters in the U.S. is what you're saying?
Yeah. Did you want me to translate that, or you want me to ask another question?
Sure, yeah, you can say that, and then, yeah, absolutely. You know, she should definitely know everything. I wish I could say it in Spanish.
Dice Elena que pues, a lo que resulta, lo que contestaste de los promotores, que los promotores en México son mucho más inteligentes que los de Estados Unidos, porque en Estados Unidos nomás no se da eso.
No, creo que están abriendo un gran paso, el que el boxeo haya ido a las Olimpiadas, ahorita como Clarissa Shields, como, uh-huh. Bueno, y aparte que son buenas peleas, créeme que vi la pelea del debut de esta mujer y me pareció muy bueno porque le pusieron una rival buena, con categoría, que dieron una excelente pelea, y pues esta, se me fue su nombre, de la de Inglaterra, Nicole Adams, que es okay. Que me encantaría a mí enfrentarla, créeme que estoy en una etapa que quisiera dejar el box ya 20 años, pero no, creo que poco a poco voy proponiéndome nuevas cosas. Y quiero seguir creciendo en esto. Voy por mi tercer título en diferentes divisiones. Fui campeona mosca, super mosca, absoluta, y voy por el gallo. Pero creo que estas chicas están dando un gran paso allá en Estados Unidos. Y bueno, ya que pago por evento, que televisoras estén empezando a interesar por el boxeo femenil, creo que va a ser una gran apertura para el boxeo femenil. Y estoy súper contenta y ojalá todavía pueda alcanzar a poder estelarizar de esas peleas. Y bueno, pues hay Barbie para rato, ¿no? Como yo creo que Elena igual está súper contenta que ahorita se está empezando a abrir el paso, ¿no? Para el boxeo femenil. Y creo que las chicas están dando un excelente papel. Están dando un muy buen papel, que desgraciadamente me da tristeza porque ahí tienes una Melissa Huracán Ramírez, Laila MacArthur, Shevel Halbach, peleadoras de gran talla que la verdad, si los promotores hubieran dado la oportunidad de meterlas en carteleras, créeme que les hubiéramos dado vuelta ya a los hombres. Ay, es cierto.
She says that, you know, that she agrees with you that they're probably smarter in Mexico than the United States, but that she does see the United States is starting to make great leaps. You know, she saw, you know, now with the Olympics, you know, and with Clarissa Shields, and she was able to watch the debut of Clarissa Shields, and she thinks she's a great fighter and she has a great future, but also like a fighter like the British girl, Nicoletta Adams, who she would like to face sometime in the future. You know, Mariana's coming up in nearly 20 years as a professional boxer, and she's been a champion at flyweight and super flyweight, and now she's looking for her third title in bantamweight. And you know, she wants to. Hopefully, she can still be the main event in a lot of cards, and if given the opportunity in the United States, and she feels like if these women like Melissa Hurricane Hernandez and Layla MacArthur and Chevelle Hellback would have been given the chance, that they would have shown up the men in a lot of their fights. So,
Yeah, no, I mean, there's not much to say to that because it's just true. And there's, I mean, they're just a couple. There's so many more, and we talk to them all the time about the talented fighters. That's the thing. They obviously, the promoters in Mexico were smarter in that way because they did see that there was a talent pool and that the women could be marketed. And that's the same thing in the United States. So my question was, you know, like I said, in Germany, I kind of know how it happened. And I was just wondering how it happened in Mexico because, and we see it happening in the United States, and I'm hoping it stays there. But I think the question that I always ask, and I'm trying to find the recipe, how do we get women on a bigger stage and for it to stay there? And so I think it's just taking notes, you know, from Mariana and from the promoters and figuring out how to do it over here.
Mariana, la pregunta para ti de Elena es cómo. ¿Qué tuvieran que hacer para el boxeo femenil, especialmente en los Estados Unidos, para que llegara a un escenario más grande y que se quedara ahí?
Yo creo que es acercarse a los medios. Yo creo que las chicas, lo que hicimos aquí nosotros muchas veces, era cansado, quizá es un poco agotador porque, digo, entrenamientos, todo, peleas, pero estar yendo a medios, tratar de estarse, hacer que la gente se interese, hacer que empezar a asistir a programas, hablar sobre el boxeo, dar clínicas de boxeo, llegar a más gente. Que cuando esto pasa, los medios empiezan a interesar, empiezan a apoyar un poquito más, y es cuando realmente empiezan a conocer el boxeo, que fue lo que pasó aquí en México. Yo tuve, los primeros años fueron súper agotadísimos, de estar yendo a programas, estar yendo a hablar, estar yendo a pedir una oportunidad, de estar asistiendo a algunos programas que dejaran ver el boxeo femenil. Ahorita Clarissa Shields, como te digo, que es una de las, yo creo que de las que va a abrir esa pauta en Estados Unidos para el boxeo femenil, están haciendo muy bien las cosas, la verdad, la están llevando a muchos medios, están empezando a fijarse la gente, ¿no? En que las mujeres también podemos hacerlo. Digo, tener una doble medallista de oro en Estados Unidos, yo creo que ese apoyo, ¿no? Las marcas, todo esto que empiecen a apoyar, realmente es el que se quede el boxeo en la televisión.
She says that it comes down to the female fighters to go out there and make themselves known, to go out and put themselves out there and look for media opportunities. She mentions that in the first couple of years when she got back into Mexico, that it was very tiring because she not only was training and fighting, but she was actually going out and, you know, putting on boxing clinics and going on and asking for opportunities to be on shows and things like that so that people could see her and know who she was. She feels that Clarissa Shields is a fighter that can do that, that she's a two-time gold medalist, which is something that's not, you know, it's very rare. And that that as far as right now, they're doing the right thing with her, you know, sponsorships and putting her out there. And I think that she feels that Clarissa Shields is going to be the difference going forward.
Un simple ejemplo, Ronda Rousey. Lo que hizo fue ser escandalosa, medios y esto, para que todos voltearan a verla y todos la voltearon a ver. Y la gente empezó a conocer de la UFC y MMA. O sea, empezaron a verlos. ¿Por qué? Porque realmente muchas veces el box no es un juego, pero hay veces que tenemos que empujar un poquito, empezarles a que les llame la atención el boxeo femenil, que vean lo que estamos haciendo, que vean lo que estamos trabajando, para que den ese giro hacia lo que es el boxeo femenil, ¿no? Y así lo vi como con Ronda Rousey, ¿no? Que fue lo que hizo, que realmente, pero apoyar, y gracias a lo que hizo Ronda Rousey, ahora ya conocemos a muchas. Yo nunca había visto boxeadoras, bueno, peleadoras de la UFC o de MMA, y ahora por ella creo que conozco ya varias, y ahí seguimos las carreras y vamos viendo sus peleas, porque de eso se trata, ¿no? Realmente apoyar a tus mismas compañeras, y creo que ahorita estamos en las manos de Clarissa Shields, que realmente está haciendo buenos papeles, y creo que ella va a hablar por todas las mujeres que estamos en esta dura carrera, y dura en cierta forma, pero también hermosa, porque nos ha dado tantas cosas.
Okay, she says that it's, you know, it's like what Ronda Rousey did, like just put herself out there and let people know about her and her style of fighting in the UFC and the MMA. She mentions that before Ronda Rousey, she didn't know anything about the UFC. She never watched it. She didn't know anybody. And now she knows fighters. She follows the fighters' careers. And she thinks that female boxing right now in the United States, it's in the hands of Clarissa Shields. Clarissa Shields could be that kind of, you know, role model or figure for female boxing in the United States, that, you know, that Clarissa Shields is the one that could let everybody know how tough of a career this is, but also how beautiful, because everything that it's giving her and the other fighters who practice it.
Yeah, no, I think that's great, and, you know, we hope to see that all, and there's definitely some Clarissa Shields, and of course she's got the biggest stage, right? She's had the most people. I mean, she's been everywhere, and she could be, was she on a Wheaties box? You know, she's been on TV and people follow her because of the Olympics, and so she has that. But so our next question, because we have Mariana and I don't know how much time we have, is what is next for her? Like, when do we get to see her again, and what are her plans for her next fight?
Te pregunto ya, su última pregunta es que ¿cuándo te vamos a volver a ver a ti? ¿Cuándo es tu siguiente pelea? ¿Qué es lo que sigue para ti?
Bueno, estamos en espera del título mundial. Estamos buscando que la campeona Catherine Piri, que es de Ghana, acepte. Realmente ahorita están arreglando los promotores y me dio una fecha para la primera semana de abril, así que nosotros estamos ya en preparación y ojalá que se pueda cerrar esta pelea, se pueda negociar, porque lo espero con muchas ansias, he trabajado muy fuerte y sería la primera semana de abril. Y si no es con ella, entonces sería hasta el 22, algo así de abril, en la que me estaría enfrentando contra otra rival.
She says that they actually have gone into talks with the WBC Bantamweight champion Catherine Fitty, and they're just waiting for her to, you know, to say yes to the fight. They gave her the first weekend of April as a date, so she's already started working. She's already in training. And if by any chance Fitty doesn't want to take on the fight, then she's looking to return on April 25th against another fighter.
Oh, great. Very good.
Okay. All right. So, Mariana, I've got a couple of questions. I'm going to ask her in English, and then I'm going to ask her in Spanish. My question is, you know, we just found out that Televisa has actually gone out of the boxing business in Mexico. So she, being with a promoter who is aligned with Televisa, the biggest network in Mexico, I want to ask her, you know, is that going to affect her in any way? Mariana, se sabe que al parecer Televisa ha dejado el boxeo el sábado de box hace como 2-3 semanas, y tú estando aliada con Promociones del Pueblo, que era el promotor casi exclusivo de esa cadena televisora, ¿va a afectar de una forma u otra tu carrera que Televisa ya no esté en el boxeo?
Créeme que ahorita sí ha sido un poquito afectada, en el sentido que mi hermana iba a pelear la semana pasada, se recorrió esta semana, y ahorita nos acaban de decir que se mueve para el 18 de marzo, y la mía hasta, yo iba el 18 de marzo y me mueven hasta abril. Creo que en esos tiempos sí nos está perjudicando un poquito, pero bueno, la verdad, tenemos la confianza con mi promotor y que Televisa no va a dejar el boxeo. Hay ahorita tienen unos fuertes problemas ahí, lo que es administración, ahora sí que lo que será el dueño de Televisa, que es Azcárraga, lo deja. Entonces llegan nuevos administradores, nuevas personas, y se empieza a negociar otra vez, pero bueno, nuestro promotor nos acaba de dar buenas noticias, que sí vamos con el boxeo. Se iba a tardar un poquito en esas negociaciones y todo esto, pero a final de cuentas, no, creo que las cosas siempre pasan por algo, y bueno, nosotros nos estamos preparando, estamos haciendo un buen trabajo para que cuando nos toque subir arriba del ring, dar lo mejor de nosotras. Pero no lo deja, no lo deja Televisa. Sí se va a poner un poquito tardado lo del tiempecito en negociar y toda esta, seguir accediendo a la televisión, pero creo que es, como les digo, es un gran paso para nosotros el que la televisión nos esté apoyando, y vamos a tener que esperar un poquito para poder, pero ya el promotor nos dijo que empezamos en marzo, así es que pues felices de que se vaya a regresar el boxeo a Televisa, pero sí nos dieron un sustito por el momento.
She says that actually, okay, she says that, you know, it did affect a little bit because her sister was supposed to fight last weekend and then it got pushed back, it got pushed to this week and now even got pushed back even more until March. She was supposed to fight in March, but her fight was pushed back until April and it looks like there's some issues there. With administrative issues with the network, it seems like they're going through some issues there, but that her promoter, Promociones del Pueblo, has assured her that Televisa is not leaving boxing and that they will be coming back in March and that they're going to be a big part of it as far as her sister and her and the other female fighters that Promociones del Pueblo has. And my last question, mi última pregunta, Mariana, ¿qué pasa con Jackie Nava? ¿Viste su regreso? Es una pelea que mucha gente ha querido ver en un tiempo. Los dos nombres más grandes del boxeo femenil mexicano, Jackie Nava y Mariana Juárez y Jackie Nava. ¿Qué tuviera que pasar para que te enfrentaras a Jackie Nava?
Bueno, ya estaban creo que en plática nuestros promotores. Y bueno, pues realmente es que ya lleguen a una negociación. Y antes había un problema por lo de las televisoras, pero si una vez se pudo hacer con la guerrera y aquí, yo creo que no va a haber ningún problema. Pues yo ya les dije, les contesté cuando me preguntaron en las redes sociales, directamente el promotor Beltrán, les dije que adelante, no había otra rival por ahí y no les llamó mucho la atención ni al público ni nada, sino que quieren ver exactamente Mariana Juárez contra Jackie Nava. Y esperemos que lleguen a buenas negociaciones porque a mí me interesa también mucho esa pelea. Pasar un peso porque ya está en la división Super Gallo. Yo voy subiendo apenas a Gallo y estoy trabajando en esto. Entonces yo creo que sería un peso pactado.
I asked her, you know, what are the chances of her facing Jackie Nava? It's a fight that the whole world wants to see. The current biggest female boxers, Mexican female boxers, you know, her and Jackie Nava. She said that she's willing to do it, that, you know, before there was an issue with the networks, but I think that we've gotten past that now that they were able to do it between Ana Maria Torres and Jackie Nava in the past, that Fernando Beltran, Jackie Nava's promoter, actually asked her through the social networks if she was willing to fight, and Barbie said yes, that it would have to be at a catch weight just because Jackie Nava is at 122 pounds and she's at 118, but that she's willing to do it. She wants that fight. She's interested in that fight. And, you know, she's just waiting for her promoter and Jackie's promoter to work it out, and she's ready to do it. So if you guys want to say goodbye, we can let her go.
Gracias, Mariana. Yeah. Gracias para todos.
Yeah, no, same. Thank you so much, gracias, and you know, best of luck in the future, and you should tell your promoters to fly us down there so we can come watch you in person.
Mariana dice, David dice gracias, que muchas gracias por todo. Elena también te da las gracias por estar con nosotros y también le dice Elena que hables con tu promotor para que nos mande un vuelo para ir a verte allá en México.
Claro que sí, gracias, sí, con mucho gusto. Y pues espero estar pronto allá por Los Ángeles. Quiero ir a hacer un campamento, no sé si en Los Ángeles, ir a visitar, que he estado viendo que ha habido mucho boxeo en los gimnasios ahí en Maywood, en algunos gimnasios que veo en las redes sociales que se juntan muchas chicas a estar boxeando, y pues me gustaría ir a hacer quizá un campamento por allá, así es que no duden que me vean por allá en algún ratito.
Okay, she says that, of course, Elena, she's going to talk to your promoter and send you that flight, but she's also planning on coming to L.A., maybe working out a camp here. She's seeing that that there's a lot of female boxing here in Southern California at the Maywood Boxing Club and other places, so that don't be surprised if we see her soon here in Los Angeles with
great.
The training camp.
Oh, very good. Great. We'll definitely have to catch up.
Okay, no, Mariana.
Give us a heads up and we'll... Give us a heads up and we'll be there with cameras.
Dice que nomás nos avises y ahí vamos a estar con cámaras. Pero pues muchas gracias, Mariana, por estar con nosotros. Te agradecemos
gracias.
Aquí en el programa. Y pues cualquier cosa, aquí estamos para ayudar.
Muchas gracias. Saludos a todos allá y a todas las chicas que están echándole muchas ganas dentro de este hermoso deporte del boxeo. Saludos a todas por allá y a echarle. Y ahora sí que hacia el frente y no dejarnos. Van a ver que primero Dios... Este año va a ser un muy buen año para el boxeo femenil.
She says thank you very much to the show and for everybody that's listening. And she wants to say hi to all the female boxers that are, you know, doing their thing and working hard and just to keep going forward, and that this is going to be a big year for female boxing in 2017. Bueno, buenas noches, Mariana, y pues que descanses.
Buenas noches. Hasta luego.
Bye-bye. And there you have it, folks. Mariana La Barbie Juarez, one of the biggest names in all boxing, one of the biggest names, if not the biggest name in female boxing in Mexico, but one of the biggest names in boxing in general, just with us here on the two-minute round. Very gracious, always very telling. She always tells it like it is, and she never says no to a fight. And honestly, I hope that fight between her and Jackie Nava gets made. I think it would be great. It would be a fire fight. You know, it would be, you know, at 120 pounds, I don't see why it couldn't be done.
Yeah, that'll be something.
Agreed.
Alrighty, so that was pretty exciting. I was pretty excited about that one, about that interview. I was right there with Elena, all smile from ear to ear. So let's move on. Let's move on fairly quickly here on the female fight chatter. It was announced earlier this week that, or early last week, that two-time gold medalist, you know, she's everywhere. Clarissa Shields, 1-0. Will be headlining the March 10th edition of Showbox from Detroit, Michigan, the first woman to ever do so. If that wasn't enough, Shields will be fighting for the vacant NABF middleweight title against Silvia Zavados, who has a record of 15-8 with 6 knockouts of Hungary. So that's a huge, huge news for female boxing. And just to piggyback on what Mariana said, you know, this is going to be a big year for female boxing. I mean, we just had the first fight on Showtime Extreme a couple of weeks ago, which was a great fight between Amanda Serrano and Jasmine Rivas. And then, you know, actually the news that she gave us regarding Televisa, that's something big too. And now this fight where Clarissa Shields is going to be headlining the Showbox edition of Showtime Boxing on March 10th. Your thoughts, David?
I think that's great news. There was some kind of a hiccup, actually, from critics were saying that why is she already fighting for NABF? And I was like, hey, she won 2 gold medals. That's true. She's really, really good.
Yeah, yeah. Get out of here.
She's fought women all over the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, you
really
know, and they
qualified.
And to be quite honest, I mean, Vasyl Lomachenko, and I mean, I don't want to say it, but you kind of have to say that maybe it'd be a little bit of sexism. You know, because Vasyl Lomachenko fought for a world title in his second fight, and you know,
yes.
Clarissa Shields, maybe her amateur career obviously wasn't that extensive as Lomachenko's, but it's all relative. So you know, she's the only female, the only American fighter to ever win 2 gold medals. So yeah, obviously, David, I agree wholeheartedly with you. You know, she deserves to fight for the NABF title. If she wanted to fight for a world title, she could do it. Lomachenko did it,
yeah.
So why not for the NABF title? So,
and
you're
not the only one. Oh, my thoughts are haters are gonna hate. no matter the situation, right? So it's not surprising to hear. And it is too bad, but that's just normal. I think it's normal just in general in any sport, anything in life. There's always got to be a negative side to it. But it is a big year for boxing. And we've had, you know, it's been, the thing is, it hasn't stopped. It really is, the momentum is going with the Hardy fight, the Clarissa fight, the Amanda fight. Like, these fights keep happening. So that's really, like, the sign, I think, of that things are progressing. Because it's not just, like, one fight happened and then a year's gone by. It's been progressing. And so that's what I want to see. And that's where I'm like, okay, this is happening. So I'm excited. Clarissa, of course she deserves to fight for her title. I think it's exciting, and she's on TV, so you've got to make these things big. Like, that's the way that things work, you know? And she only has – there's only so much time in the sport, and so why wouldn't they do it, you know? Like, did those people say, why shouldn't she do it? That's what I want to hear. Like, why wouldn't it make sense? But, yeah,
so
those are my thoughts.
haters are going to hate. So we await that fight with bated breath, because that's going to be a great fight and a great night for female boxing. But if that wasn't enough, It was just announced, I think, yesterday. Former six-time world champion Layla Amazing MacArthur, a record of 38 wins, 13 losses, 5 draws, 9 knockouts, looks to further her career under the Mayweather Promotions banner. So Mayweather now has two women under their banner. They have, her last name is Jones, LaTondra Jones, who fights at middleweight, and now they have the veteran Layla MacArthur, 37-year-old California Navy, the second female professional boxer to sign with Mayweather Promotions behind LaTondra Jones, like I just mentioned. Mayweather MacArthur has held titles across 4 different weight classes and currently ranks number 2 in the light welterweight division. MacArthur has fought some of the best pound-for-pound female boxers in the world, including former WBC champion Alicia Ashley, which ended in a draw, current WBO champion Cindy Serrano, where MacArthur earned a unanimous decision, and current WBA and WBC featherweight champion Jelena Mironovic, who scored a split decision in favor of MacArthur. MacArthur said, with the current state of women's boxing and the great achievements of Mayweather Promotions has accomplished recently, I felt it was the best thing for my career to make the move to Mayweather Promotions stable. While Leonard Ellerbe, who's the president of Mayweather Promotions, stated, "We have shown with our recent signees that we are here to bring fight fans great shows. We look to continue to build and diversify our roster of fighters, and Layla MacArthur is a great example of a world-class athlete." David.
They're real familiar with Layla because Layla's been working out at the Mayweather gym for years, and it's not like they just came up with the idea. They actually liked Layla all along, but Layla was trying to do it on her own. But she discovered that it might be better to sign with a promoter like Mayweather. And interesting story about 5 years ago, Floyd Mayweather Sr. had this girl fighter, I forget her name, and he claimed that she was the best fighter he'd ever seen, that no other woman could beat her. And he told Floyd Jr., or Money Mayweather, the same thing. And Floyd Jr. immediately says, "I'll bet you $50,000 I can find somebody that can beat your girl right now." And he said, "Okay." He says, "You're on." So they supposedly bet $50,000. So Floyd got his people out there. They hunted down Layla, brought her to the gym, and then Floyd Jr. said, "Oh my God, I forgot about Layla." And he said, "Oh no, the bet's off. The bet's off." So he's always known about Layla. And one more thing. Uh-huh. She's going to be fighting in March. She'll be fighting in March in Vegas, and it's going to be at a Showtime.
Sounds great.
Wow,
great.
That's awesome. So that's good news. And, we don't need to talk about Televisa out of boxing because Mariana gave us the scoop, and quite honestly, it was a scoop because nobody's heard this before. So we kind of got a little bit of a scoop here. So that's good to know that hopefully in March, Televisa will be back in female boxing. Moving on, Katie Taylor. I'm very impressed with Katie Taylor. I mean, she's impressive. Will fight for the third time in the pros on the undercard of the heavyweight blockbuster between David Haye and Tony Bellew at the O2 Arena in London on March 4th, live on Sky Sports. "It's great to be on another big card in front of a huge crowd at an arena like the O2, said Taylor. "I think people are really excited about the Haye-Bellew fight and the rivalry between those guys. And as a boxer, these are the kind of nights you want to be a part of. It's a massive stage for me, and I'm really looking forward to it." She continued with, "I've been in the United States for the last few weeks in training camp for the fight and working hard. It's the start of a very big year for me, and I know there are big plans, but I need to keep winning and keep performing, so I'm not looking any further beyond March 4th. So hopefully Katie Taylor is a fighter who we start seeing her. I kind of wanted to see her get moved the same way as Clarissa Shields. I mean, with big, tough fights, because she's that good of a fighter. And quite honestly, I mean, yeah. I don't know if Elena's going to try to come through the phone and punch me in the face, but technically I think Katie Taylor is a better fighter than Clarissa Shields. Technically.
Wow. Oh no. I'm not going to come through the phone and punch you on that one. Cause I don't completely disagree with you.
Okay. Okay. Well,
so there you go.
That's like the third show in the row, but you didn't completely
agree.
You didn't completely agree with me, but at least you didn't completely disagree with me, so I appreciate that.
True. No problem.
I'm impressed with it. I'm impressed.
You're what?
I think she has,
yeah.
I'm impressed with Katie Taylor. I think she's got tremendous skills, but let's see her against the better fighters.
Exactly.
That's
why I kind of mentioned, you know, I kind of want to see her move like the way they're moving Clarissa. I mean, the fact that Clarissa is fighting a 15-8 fighter with only one professional fight, and Silvia Sabatos, we've heard the name before. We know that she's fought tough fights, so it's not a pushover with a trump up record. This is a real fighter, Silvia Sabatos, and they're going to be fighting either an 8-rounder or a 10-rounder. It can't be any less than that for the NABF title.
Right.
So she's gonna have to. Shields is gonna answer a lot of questions on that night. You know, does she have the condition? Does she have the game plan is she going to be able to follow the game plan from her corner? Because it's not going to be a 4-rounder. It's going to be an 8-rounder, a 10-rounder. And if she has the skill to beat a well-established, experienced fighter in Sabatos. And, you know, it's not a world title, but, I mean, it's pretty close to it. I mean, once you fight for the NABF title and you win, you get ranked in the top 15 of the division. So this is going to be a great night, and we're going to see what Clarissa Shields is really made of, because even though she was great in the Olympics and she was great in the amateurs, this is professional boxing, and it's smaller gloves, and there's no headgear, and in front of her is going to be a tough, tough fighter. So I'm looking forward to
that. How many rounds is it then?
Well, I know that for the NABF, they could set it up to fight for 8 rounds, and it's an NABF title on the female side.
Okay.
On the men's side, it's a 10-rounder because it's like a it's like a junior title, it's an NABF, it's a North American Boxing Federation, so that means it's Mexico, United States, and Canada. So it's more like a regional title, it's not a world title, but it is affiliated with the WBC, and I think they have to fight at least 8 rounds for it to be a world NABF title. So it's going to have to be at least 8 rounds.
I would say, for all the haters out there, I would say that fighting from, you know, 4 rounds and fighting shorter rounds to 8 rounds is not an easy thing to do, because most fighters do gradually progress from 4-rounders to 6-rounders to 8-rounders to more. But as long as she has the right team behind her, I think that's fine. Even tougher than just fighting a tough opponent, I think, is just getting used to the rounds and how it's different than a 4-round fight. So it will be interesting to see that, I would say, from my perspective. But also for the people out there, the thing about female boxing is it's not like she's going to have, you know, 50 fights and then fight for a world title. There's just not the pool of females that there is males.
Especially at middleweight, too.
Yeah, so fighting for these titles is going to happen faster, you know, when you're on top, because you're not going to, like, build a 20-0 record. I mean, I guess you could, but no, who would want to watch that, you know? Like, she's an excellent fighter, and just like you're talking with any of these other fighters, excellent fighters look better against other excellent fighters. It really brings that out of them. So I think, like you said, I think they are making the smart move by putting her against the better opposition.
Mm-hmm. And two quick fights that were announced recently. They're not going to happen. They're going to happen in March. Naoko Shibata, the IBF light flyweight champion, is coming to Mexico to face Alondra Garcia, Alondra La Magnifica Garcia, and they're going to be fighting for that title. So we'll actually go into that fight and announce it more officially when that happens. But that did get announced this week. And also on March 13th, 2017, at the Korakuen Hall in Tokyo, Japan, Naoko Fujioka considered, and I learned this from the article that was written on the prizefighters.com, which was a very good article written by, do you know the name, David?
Yuriko Mayata.
Yes,
Yuriko
great.
Mayata.
Please forgive my ignorance, but is that a man or a woman?
No, it's a woman.
Oh, okay, because I can't tell what the... Oh, okay. I can't tell with the Japanese names. Great piece on Naoko Fujioka, who I didn't know this, but she's considered the best Japanese female fighter of all time.
Yes. Yes.
Wow, that was pretty impressive.
Ever.
Yeah, she's really, really good. 41 years old. She had an extensive amateur career. I learned this all from that article. Extensive career. She started boxing professionally at 33. Now she's 41. She's 15-2 with 6 knockouts. She just came from a loss to Kika Chavez last year, which she found, she obviously thought it was a little bit disputed. She's from Tokyo, and she'll be facing current WBF flyweight champion Isabel La Estrella Millan, who's 18-2, 1 draw, 8 knockouts. She's from Culiacan, Mexico, and it's going to be a 10-round bout for the vacant WBA flyweight title. It's going to be in Tokyo, and this matchup is a five-star rated bout on BoxRec. So obviously, hopefully we can get a stream or at least get a video of it afterwards, because this is going to be a very good fight. Mexico versus Japan, Japan versus Mexico. It's always a great fight, whether it's man or female. I have a friend, you know this guy, David, his name is Catch Miura. You know him?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's a writer. He's stationed out here in Southern California. He comes to Mexico a lot to cover fights. He writes for a boxing magazine in Japan. And one time I was talking to him, I was speaking to him, and I said, give me the one thing that you would describe a Japanese fighter, you know, what would you describe him as? And he just said, courage. They're just courageous. And we've seen it time and time again in female and in male boxing. And that's what I expect. And one thing that you could say about Mexican fighters, and Elena said it in the beginning of the show, she loves the Mexican style. It's all heart. It's all heart. It's all guts. It's all come forward. It might not be the most technical or the prettiest style, but it's, you know, all out. And that's what Isabel Estrella Millan is going to bring. I seen her fight. She got busted up. I saw her fight December 10th in Monterrey. She got busted up. She got headbutted. She was bleeding from the top of both eyes. From her eyes were swelling up, and she just kept going and going and going. And another thing that we know about Millan is that she is not afraid to go into the backyard of a fighter and beat him. She did it in France. So she's going to go to Japan, and she's going to try to bring back that world title. So that's going to be an awesome fight. Hopefully we can get a stream and we can watch it live.
Yeah, I'm going to ask around. I'm going to ask Eurico about that, if they know of a stream.
Okay, so let's move on to the last section of the show here on the 2-Minute Round, your Hooks and Jabs look at the female fight world here on the Leave It in the Ring Network. 347-215-7598, if anybody's out there. We already had a historic show with Mariana Lavarri Juarez on here. And just to remind you that we are on Patreon, if you want to help us out and support the Leave It in the Ring Network, you can go on there and pledge and sponsor us, patreon.com/leaderintheringboxing. But moving on to the upcoming calendar, Friday, February 17th, which is this Friday, from the Don Haskins Center in El Paso, Texas, Top Rank will be featuring on Unimas, although this fight would not be televised, which would have been great, actually, but they're not. Jennifer Hahn defending her IBF 126-pound title against Olivia Guerrulla, but now we have found out that Olivia Guerrulla from Canada did not make weight. She was about a pound and a half over, so the title is not available for her. If she were to win this fight, then the title will stay vacant. Correct?
Correct.
And then on Saturday, February 18th, at the Westin Hotel in Croatia, Rama Ajashe, the Armenian living out of Germany, coming back from her first professional loss, slight upset when Ana Arrazola beat her in the first round of the WBC flyweight tournament, which should be gearing up for the second round. She's coming back from that loss, and she's facing Hungarian Agnes Draxler in a four-rounder at flyweight. Also the same night on Saturday, from the Carnivore Grounds in Nairobi, Kenya, Fatuma Zarika, the WBC super bantamweight champion, will not be defending her title. It will be a non-title affair against Ansha Nigadari in an eight-rounder at 126 pounds. Whereas from the Gimnasio Municipal in Guaymas, Sonora, on Azteca Channel, Sanford Promotions gives us Mexican Olympic team member Sule Murbina, who we actually interviewed here on the 2-Minute Round, not on the show, but we had a special show that you could catch here if you go on our feed. Sule Murbina will be facing Kumora Yang Badillo in a four-rounder at 112 pounds. And actually, these two fights were just added yesterday. Jocelyn Arroyo, who was the interim WBA flyweight champion, but she has been out of boxing for a little bit. I believe she has some kind of medical condition. She's coming back and facing Jasmine Gonzalez in an 8-rounder at 115 pounds. And then Jessica Diaz will be facing Alejandra Guzman in a 4-rounder at 122 pounds. And finally, on Friday, February 24th, from the Spectrum in Oslo, Norway, it's the fight that we were waiting for last month, but it didn't happen because Cecilia Breakhouse got the flu. Cecilia Breakhouse, the number one pound for pound considered by many, not many on this show, but many in the boxing world.
Not me.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't want to name names, but Cecilia Breakhouse.
Not me.
Will be facing Clara Svensson in a 10-rounder at 147 pounds, welterweight division, and she will be defending her WBC, WBA, IBF, WBO, and IBO world titles. So finally, we get to see that fight on February 24th. Friday, it was postponed. Supposed to happen January 28th, I believe, but it was postponed since Breakhouse got the flu, and now it is back on February 24th. Now, our next show will be March 2nd, which will be speaking about all these fights, and then obviously looking forward to what's coming up, which will be that Clarissa Shields fight. We'll be talking about that IBF title, light flyweight title fight here in Mexico, and that March 13th fight between Japan's best fighter of all time, Naoko Fujioka, and Mexican Israel Millan. David, your final thoughts.
Well, I think everything is just heating up. It's like we're in the eye of the hurricane. Beginning in March, it's just going to explode. And I think from there on, we're going to have we may have to add another hour to our show. It looks like we're going to have so much action going on.
Yeah. Elena.
Just like I said earlier, it's really nice to see that the momentum is happening and like females are getting their stage, and it wasn't just one time. It's, you know, we've already got dates for the future, and it's been different females too. So, we've said it, and I'm going to say it again. I'm just really hopeful for this year, not hopeful, but happy because it's happening. So like David said, this show, it's just going to get better because we're just going to have a lot more to talk about, and not just us, but the world's going to get to see it. So the world's going to be talking a lot more about female boxing as well.
That is right. We have some big fights. We got Katie Taylor. We got all that. So with that said, we have reached the end of the 21st edition here of the 2 Minute Round, your Hooks and Jabs look at the female fight world on the Leave It in the Ring Network. Don't forget to visit patreon.com/Leave It in the Ring Boxing to help us out so we can bring you this show and others. And we'll see you and talk to you. And hopefully we got another exciting guest on March 2nd, like the one we had today with Mariana Barbie Juarez. So we bid you good night.
Good night.
Ba 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 ba.